This is not a form of slandering or backbiting. It is exceptions to the rule. Unfortunately, on the street, in official organizations and popular gatherings, one may hear people reviling others, calling them names or scoffing at them. All this happens despite the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَحْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيِ. A believer is never a person who scoffs at others, calls them names, utters vulgar or obscene phrases. This hadith indicates that slandering people, belittling them, and cursing them are all prohibited acts. A true believer is a decent person who uses polite phrases whenever he talks, in all situations. The Holy Quran taught us to use decent phrases as evidence in its discussion of delicate matters, such as where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing marital relations, but he used the word touch your wife. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا يَرْمِي رَجُلًا بِالْفِسْقِ وَلَا يَرْمِيهِ بِالْكُفْرِ إِلَّا ارْتَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ صَاحِبُهُ كَذَلِكَ. Any person who accuses another person of sinfulness or accuses them of deviation or atheism, this accusation will rest firmly on him unless that other person definitely possesses what they have claimed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, سِبَابِ الْمُسْلِمِ فُسُوقٍ. Reviling a Muslim is an act of moral depravity. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. And fighting them physically is kufr. سَبَابِ الْمُسْلِمِ فُسُوقٌ. To insult or revile a Muslim is moral depravity. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. And fighting them is disbelief. In the case of a dispute arising between two persons, neither should have recourse to using vulgar or obscene phrases, reviling the other party or calling them names. Acting in this manner makes the dispute more complex and difficult to settle. One of the disputants may have been the victim of injustice, but this does not grant them any right to abuse the other party or call them names. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المتسابان ما قالا فعلى الباد منهما حتى يتعدى المظلوم. The one who starts abusing a fellow Muslim and calling him names bears the sin of both of them, unless the other one responds with more vulgar phrases than the first. Imam an-Nawawi explained this prophetic hadith saying, this means that the person who starts insulting a Muslim or calling them names will bear the sin incurred by such an act for both of them, unless the second party is even more extreme. Yet sticking to patience and forgiving people is far better for the Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. But indeed, if any show patience and forgive, that would truly be an exercise of courageous will and resolution in the conduct of affairs. Our religion does not even allow us to revile and abuse the sinner. In the hadith is reported, أَتَنَ أُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ شَرِبْ. A man who had drunk alcohol was brought to the Prophet ﷺ. قَالَ أَدْرِبُوهُ. And he said, hit him, beat him. قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ فَمِنَّ الْضَارِبُ بِيَدِهِ. Abu Huraira reports, some of us hit him with our hands. وَالْضَارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ. And some of us hit him with our shoes. وَالْضَارِبُ بِثَوْبِهِ. And some of us hit him with our garments. فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ لَهُ الْقَوْمُ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ. And when he was gone, the people said about him, may Allah humiliate you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, لَا تَقُولُ هَكَذَا. He said, do not say this. وَلَا تُعِينُ عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not help shaitan over this man further. Imam Ibn Alana Siddiqi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, said, the meaning of this prophetic hadith is that the aim of shaitan when he opens the gates of sins to the believers is to put humiliation upon them. Invoking Allah against the sinner, as the companions did in this case, leads to further humiliation, which was the aim of shaitan in the first place. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited them from invoking Allah's curse against the drunkard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, من قذف مملوكه بالزنا يقام عليه الحد يوم القيامة إلا أن يكون كما قال. If a person accused his slave of adultery, he will be punished, the punishment of adultery, by Allah Himself on the Day of Judgment, unless what he said was really true. This great hadith points out the crime of the person who accuses others of adultery, even if the accused is in the position of slave. So what about those people who consider that one of the proofs of a strong relationship between them is reviling and abusing one another? Such a person may accuse the other's mother or sister of adultery, thinking that they're joking, while the other side is content, and he may even laugh, considering that this is a sign of lasting friendship and strong relationship. Ibad Allah, cursing people as well as them calling them names is a type of verbal abuse. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِصَدِيقٍ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَعَانًا. A true believing friend is never used to cursing others. Abu Darda, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يكون لا إلا عانون شفعاء ولا شهداء يوم القيامة. People who curse one another or others will never be witnesses, nor will they be martyrs, nor will they ever be intercessors on يوم القيامة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, لا تلاعنوا بلعنة الله ولا يغضبه ولا بغضبه ولا بالنار. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not curse each other and do not summon the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his hellfire on one another. Thabit ibn al-Dahhak radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من حلف على يمين بملة غير الإسلام كاذبا فهو كما قال. Whoever perjures himself by swearing by a religion other than Allah, and we'll explain that in a minute, and he's lying, then he is as he has said. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى يَمِينٍ بِشَيْءٍ عُذِّبَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And whoever committed suicide with any utensil or object, he will be continued to be punished with that object in the hereafter. وَلَيْسَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ نَذَرَ فِي شَيْءٍ لَا يَمْلِكُهُ. And a man should not make a vow with that which he does not possess. وَلَعْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَقَتْلِهِ. And cursing another believer is the same as killing them. The meaning of the first sentence of the above mentioned hadith is as follows. If a person said, if I have done so and so, then I am a Jew or a Christian. This is a type of extreme oath. Someone's trying to show that they're innocent. And he did what he swore he didn't, then he is indeed a Jew or a Christian as he professed. If he meant this and insists that he's telling the truth, then he becomes a kafir. If he really did what he said and he swears, if I did such and such, I'm a Jew or a Christian, then by so saying he becomes a kafir. However, if he just wanted to exaggerate so as to prevent himself from doing a certain act, and therefore never intended to desert Islam, then he is a sinner who should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness because of the sin he has committed, making such an oath and mentioning such a thing in an oath. The meaning of the last sentence in the above hadith is that the crime of, and the last sentence was, قِتَالُ الْمُسْلِمِ فَقَتْلِهِ. The curse of Muslim is the same as the killing. Is that the crime of cursing a believer is similar to the crime of killing them. Also, a Muslim may not curse even his riding animal, his house, or his personal belongings. This again is prohibited in Islam. And inshallah, we all know the story. Imran bin Hussein reported, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling when a woman of the Ansar cursed her she camel because it made her furious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the curse upon this. He said, "Take away the luggage which the she camel carries and let her go away because she is cursed." And Imran said, "By Allah, I have seen this she-camel walking in the streets of Medina and nobody pays any attention to her because of the curse of this woman." It is allowed to curse sinners in general, but not in particular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Ala la'natullahi 'ala al-zalimin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Behold, the curse of Allah is upon the oppressors," but not any one individual by name. Also, from the hadith, لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكل الربا ومؤكله وشاهده وكاتبه. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, first, the one who takes interest, and the one who gives it, and the one who bears witness to it, and the one who writes it down. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لعن الله من غير منار الأرض. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the one who changes the boundaries on the land. This is like the corner markers, and someone goes and moves it in order to expand their land. And the Prophet invoked a curse, not on a specific person, but on anyone who does that. And Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لعن الله السارق يسرق البيضة فتقطع يده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses the thief, even one who just steals a single egg. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لعن الله من لعن والديه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed one who utters the curse against his two parents. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma la'an ra'lan wa zakwan wa 'asiya 'asa Allah wa rasuluhu. He invoked a curse upon those people of the tribes of Ra'al and Zakwan and 'Asiya, those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, again against the people of that particular act, and not any specific person, and not overgeneralized. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لعن الله المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed men who try to imitate women, and has cursed women who try to imitate men. In all of these hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never cursed a certain individual. Rather, he cursed whoever commits a particular evil deed as a sort of warning against that. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope that we will not be damned. I invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, to guide us so that we could escape the path of the damned. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Him in repentance and ask Him for forgiveness for every misdeed. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His prophet and messenger, who said, مَا كَانَ الْفُحْشُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ وَمَا كَانَ الْحَيَاءُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَ. Indecency and uncouthness does not come upon any act, but it distorts it and makes it bad, while courteousness and modesty does not come into any act, but it embellishes it and makes it beautiful. The Sharia prohibits the act of unjustifiably reviling and abusing the dead, and it warns against harming the dead because of his innovation in religion or immorality during his life. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَسُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. Do not speak any ill of the dead, because they are already facing whatever it was that they have sent forth. The meaning of this hadith is that the dead has already been commissioned with the consequences of their deeds, whether good or bad. Accordingly, the hadith warns against reviling them, especially if they are Muslims. Sadly, some people may insult or verbally abuse even their own children, and even invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against them. Some may even curse themselves or invoke ruin against their own property in cases of extreme anger. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تدعوا على أموالكم ولا توافق من الله ساعة يسأل فيها عطاء فيستجيب لكم. Do not invoke ruin against your own property, for when you do so, it may be the hour where Allah accepts all du'a, and He may accept it from you. Ubay radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثلاث دعوات مستجابات لا شك فيهن. There are three du'a which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will undoubtedly answer. Da'wat al-mazloom, ودعوة المسافر ودعوة الوالد على ولدي. The dua of the traveler and the dua of the oppressed and a father's invocation against his own child. Allahu Akbar. What a great deen, the deen of Islam. What a complete and beautiful sharia to guide us on this life. Only the pious people will stick to this deen and give us a full account for every minute detail of this life. Are we going to stick to this deen? Na'am, insha'Allah. We shall stick to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a tahdeeb of the nafs within us. Make a taming of whatever is within us which is not completely in harmony, in response to the statement of Rasulullah, Wallahi la yu'minu ahadakum hatta takuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bih. By Allah, none of you is a believer until his very essence, his nature, his character, his thoughts, everything about him is in submission to that which I have brought. Nothing short of that deserves the name of Iman. Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah aid us to stick to this path and keep ourselves within the boundaries established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn and understand and have that learning bear fruit and not just be something we throw away and quote unquote know. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a. Oh Allah, show us every truth for what it is and grant us submission to it. Warina al-baatila baatilan warzuqna istinaba. And show us every falsehood as falsehood and grant us distance between us and it. Aqimu salah.